Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is retro recap number three.
Retro recap.
Retro recap. No, I was down for that, Kenny.
We good.
So every 20 to 25 to 30 episodes, we are doing a retro recap in which we look back over our catalog of games. And we talk about those games or those episodes, just memories that are still sticking with us, if the game is even memorable. I mean, some of these we might get to and be like, we played this game, which would give you a good idea that it's probably not quality.
Right.
But we're supposed to do this every 20 would be a good number, which would mean this would be our fourth, is how math works.
If we were good at what
if we were
do.
Good, but we're not.
But we're not. So this is retro recap number three. And it's promising to be a lengthy episode. So we're just going to get straight into it. Is what we're going to do is go episode by episode, starting with episode 60. And we are going to look at these different episodes and these games in order, coming to our most recent one, which was Myst, just last week.
If you're behind, this is a great episode to get caught up on the games that we've played and our general thoughts on them. And if you have somebody you want to recommend to this podcast and they don't want to have to go back and watch a whole 80 episodes, point them at these retro recaps. They'll get real on board with what's going on real fast.
Maybe.
So join us as we begin with episode 60, Primal Rage, which is a fighting game with dinosaurs. This may have been our first fighting game. We haven't played many as a part of this podcast.
No, not at
all. We haven't.
And this was a pretty iconic one. Not iconic. That's a terrible word to use.
I mean, it's notorious.
It's notorious.
It's a big title. It's not like Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter big, but it's well known. And you said dinosaurs, but let's be real. All I remember is playing the giant monkey thing and just bashing everything.
Yeah. You mean peeing all over your enemies?
Oh gosh, that's the fatality.
It definitely had some of those crude elements in it. But that was the era, and that's what the like fighting games were trying to be edgy.
Right.
And, you know,
they don't call them fatalities, Nolan. I think
they call them
like bestialities or something.
That'd be weird.
I'm pretty sure that's not the case, but I think my final thoughts were that this should have been Mortal Kombat. Just be Mortal Kombat.
Well, it was Mortal Kombat with dinosaurs, but I remember us talking about that it was really just a big game of rock, paper, scissors, because like some creatures like just trounced the others while they would get trounced by it. Like it was really just pick the right one that does the right amount of damage to the opponents.
Weak.
Yeah. That takes us into a game that wasn't as much real-time fighting, but a little bit more fantasy. In fact, we played Final Fantasy for episode 61, and talk about iconic.
Yeah, and talk about the week of Kenny's wedding.
Yeah, morning of Kenny's wedding.
That was what morning. A perfect game, though.
Perfect. If we're going to play any game on the morning of your wedding,
absolutely.
And then get show up late to pictures that day. Unrelated to the video game playing.
Yeah, we were late to go take pictures, not because of the fact that we recorded an episode, which was a lot of fun, and Dustin, it was great having you get to be there, but like, we were late because my wife gave me really, really terrible instructions on how to get there.
Oh, just blame it on your fiance at the time.
But that shows you how big a title this is, that I was willing to carve out a little bit of time in literally one of the most important days of my life to talk about this game. And it's justified because this is a favorite of my childhood. And I loved going back and getting to play all those classic characters. And just this really started such a great series. And I had a great time going back and reliving it.
I do remember it being fairly slow, though. Like, Final Fantasy is great. Absolutely love the series, so don't think that I'm talking about my beloved series. But this one, remember, is very slow pace. And you and I, Kenny, ran, like, to get far, we had to run from a lot of battles. Nolan didn't, and so he didn't get far at all,
right.
If
no.
I recall correctly.
It's, no. It is a way heavier grinding farming game than you want in a game where you're trying to go back and relive it in a complete week, you know, and just get through content. And so since we knew the game well, we had a little bit better sense where it was going, and we all got to get a good taste of it. But we were reminded that games back then, and especially RPG style games back then, had no qualms about expecting you to have to just sit and farm some enemies. And games have kind of moved away from that in a design philosophy, but we fought a lot of that this week. But it's a favorite of mine for sure, and I was super glad we got the chance to look back on it. I had a blast.
The next episode was without Kenny because he was on his honeymoon. We played Crash Bandicoot for episode 62. That's a really big deal. And it was fun. That was our first, episode to only have two people.
I think it was. Like, we had gotten super far with all three of us making it happen no matter what. And then within the span of like a month, we were all gone.
So much happened.
Listen, the day of, I recorded, and that was good. And then, I don't know, while you guys were playing this game, I was busy crashing bandicoots.
Can I say that? Oh, my gosh. You said it.
I don't know
it.
How I long to say that. But no, like, I missed having you guys there, but let's be real. I'd go on a hunt. If like, every week was honeymoon-level distraction, I'd just quit the podcast instantly. We had a great time, went out to Florida, and you guys did a good job handling it without me.
Nolan, you didn't have any experience with Crash Bandicoot.
Not much, no. Really close friend growing up loved it. They were into PlayStation more than I was, and so they played it a lot. And this was not a first experience, but it was definitely my first like diving in and getting into the game.
Yeah, and it was a game that I had a lot of experience with, one of the ones that on PlayStation I played tons of. And for those of you that don't remember, it's like a multi-directional platformer, and it's not like your A-class lead characters of Mario and Link and Donkey Kong, but it's maybe B or C tier there. But I think they did really good in creating this unique kind of Tasmanian Devil-esque character that just went around and demolished stages, had its own unique feel, and we both gave it our New Game Plus status of approval.
Great game.
Which leads us into episode 63, Grand Theft Auto, which is the original of the great, series that has spawned many, many entries and made Rockstar and others multiple billions of dollars.
I know I disagree with a lot of people disagree with me on this, but I think they had a shaky start with Grand Theft Auto 1.
Oh,
we agree.
They absolutely did.
It was weird.
If you look at like the quality of the game and some of the downsides of Grand Theft Auto as a genre spawner versus Final Fantasy as a genre spawner, both of them are clearly older games, but Grand Theft Auto, the first one, I just was like, that's not generally my cup of tea anyways, but there were so many things about this game that I didn't enjoy playing, that were rough graphically, that were just clunky, and like, you get that the concept is fun and why it took off, but if they hadn't stepped up their game on the sequel and after, I don't think it would have been what it was, because
I mean, if anything, it just like speaks to the studio kicking it up and actually developing an even better game on the next one and then the next one and the next one. So no slight to the series. It's just the game wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah, I think what we've discussed is that there wasn't immersion in this game, and that's what makes Grand Theft Auto games good, is that like you feel like you're in it and you're a character that's leading on this life of crime. And in this game, they
disconnected.
Take like all the missions. So you've got the missions, but they're disconnected. They don't relate to one another. And so there's little to no immersion there. The cars go entirely too fast. All the cars are the same speed. And there's no map. So you're just having to, so
lots,
there's just
lots
things,
of rough edges.
Yeah. So like Final Fantasy, we talked about that, built on some of those things that they started from game one. Music, Nolan, we talked about. They have the same music in Final Fantasy 15 that they had in Final Fantasy 1. Mm-hmm. But Grand Theft Auto built on, hey, let's do cars and crime. That's pretty much all they went
with. It was just concept, Little other actually translated. Then the next game that we jumped into was episode 64, where we played Rambo.
Shirtless, bandana wearing. You would want him to have a machine gun holding character, but instead he just had a knife, I think.
And like a fist or something. Kenny is a huge fan of Rambo.
Right. He drives a truck.
Yeah, Kenny, you love trucks and you love Rambo. You're the man's man.
He is the man's man. We discovered it in this episode that Kenny is like he's gonna grill out and like shoot deer and
grow
like
a really
wrestle
big gnarly
mud.
Beard for no reason.
Right. We were amazed that it was kind of like a Zelda 2 clone. Like, it really was. Like, they took that and then just reskinned it and then made it so much worse. Mm-hmm. And that's what Rambo
story
became.
Was weird. And, like, navigating from screen to screen and level to level was weird. And fighting mechanics were strange. And there was just a whole lot of, like, what with this game?
Do you remember it? You remember our qualm was that it was so connected to the movie that they didn't take any liberty right. off of it. So it was just, like, weird. Like, you can't be so to the script and to everything that you keep us like imprisoned in what you're trying right. and so we can't have fun.
They thought yeah, just making Rambo the game because the movie was popping was gonna be enough, and right. then it just ended up being another one of those movie that should never ever be made anything else type of situations. Right. So no surprise though, I knew it was going to suck.
Like we say again and again and again, with a few exceptions, games that are just spawned off of movies and tend to feel like a money grab just don't have the love and care of games that are games first, and it way, way showed in this case.
Exactly. Yeah.
The next game that we played was Bomberman 64, and unfortunately, it was episode number 65.
What's our problem?
I don't know. I mean, we use a random system, so that's our problem. But
off by
that
RNG?
It had to be that close.
We were so
that's
close.
Stupid.
That the randomizer gods had to make it one off is so frustrating.
What they're trying to tell us is that there's one episode in our previous log that just never, ever should have happened.
There's a couple of those.
Cough. Coming. Jurassic Park. Cough. And so we should just renumber our whole system.
This was our first game that we played in 2017. So all the games that we just talked about were 2016 titles. Yeah. and Bomberman 64 was our first one that we played in 2017. And Nolan, this was your childhood game.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I have a lot of nostalgia around Bomberman. I love the art style, love the music. And this was like a frequent renting game for me. Every time I went to the video store, I got Bomberman. So... And to me, it like you guys had some criticisms there, but to me, it still held up. I had a lot of fun.
It's one that as we go back and talk about it, even though I had some things that I didn't like as much playing through it, like my brain wants to go back and play it. And so sitting here,
yeah,
like thinking about it, I go, I'd love to pick that game up and mess with it some more. And I think the week of, I probably wouldn't have even said that. But right. it had some interesting mechanics, and 64 titles... just have a fun vibe, and I don't know. You run around and solve puzzles, and it's
you
fun.
Definitely didn't say that the week of because yeah. you and I did not give it our thumbs up, and to Nolan's great disapproval, we did not give it our vote for New Game Plus status.
Nolan, is this so the one hard. You think we've gotten the most wrong of all the stuff that we've disagreed on? Because there's two or three that you guys have missed on my mind.
No one was really mad at us during the Moonwalker episode, which we'll get to.
Yeah, I think this one, for sure, no jokes aside, you missed. I think you missed, for sure.
Episode 66 was Metal Gear Solid, which...
Wow.
Snake!
We didn't miss it on this one.
The game, to me, still, though, is a little weird. A lot of, like, random cutscene texts, and the premise is weird, too. There's a lot of story.
This was a great game.
It was a good story with good characters. Yeah. That's what
I knew it was popular and never knew why, and got to find out why that week, and I loved it. It's not a perfect game by any means, but it's one that going back and playing it, I went, okay, I get it.
Yeah, for sure. You can see that. And then like we talked about Kojima and how brilliant he is, and he's still going with his new game that he's been working on. So I have no doubt that it'll also be a just story-heavy, cult-like fan base that will come with the next one. But yeah, Metal Gear was a huge game. We played a lot. In these past few episodes, we've had a lot of like significant impact on gaming games that we've played. And that's
one of them. This is one of those first stealth-focused games, whereas yeah. like... Even other games of this genre, you shoot and you fight a lot. I remember us talking in this episode that like, I didn't shoot anybody until the first forced boss fight where I had to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Everything else was like extreme stealth, and it really makes you feel that like anxiety of trying to hide from cameras and people so that you can get to the next location. That's a really cool thing.
Yeah, they got that right.
Dustin, you mentioned bosses. I know they were weird and unique, but the bosses in this were so fun to me.
They were.
Just, they're fun.
They're like the James Bond bosses.
Big villainy kind of villains.
Overboard.
Uh-huh. And each one has their own thing, and they're really unique and just ridiculous. And oh man, it was fun. And then we had Doug's big game.
Which was just as good as Metal Gear Solid? On the story front?
It was way better.
Oh yeah, this game is 67. You're still going?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was a good
We're obviously being facetious. This game may have been our first Game Boy Color game, or one of our first Game Boy Color games.
One of. We haven't played a lot.
I think
we played a lot of handheld games.
I think it was the first, but I may be misremembering.
One of the things we did compliment this game on is that there's like dozens of storylines.
Storylines.
No, we did. Levels. There were some unique things about this. It wasn't just complete crap.
I know.
I
like
think
when
so.
You're a game I'm, specifically targeting kids as hard as this one
right.
did,
you gotta
and then
that
on
mind.
Top of it, you're as like cheesy easy as this game was, but like ridiculously so. And there's no redeeming qualities.
Don't play a kid's game. Go play some violent game you're not supposed to play and have fun with gaming and then grow up to love games. Don't play.
You're telling this to 6 year olds?
Yeah, I am, because this game's boring and pointless.
There are kids' games. This just isn't one of them by any means.
Your kid is going to start with Duke Nukem.
Yeah, Duke my kid 3D. Is going to play probably like Outlast
GTA 5.
Or something when they're
desensitized by age 5.
Yeah, that's the goal.
It was a very rough game. You play these different episodes and they're randomized. There are some redeeming qualities that we talked about and brought up, all three of us. You can go back and listen. Obviously, with the memories that we have with this game, they're not fond. Kenny actually said in the episode that this might possibly be the worst video game music he's ever heard in his life.
It was the music was really, really bad. The whole game is speedrun in like, I don't even know, like 2 minutes or something, and that's not because it has glitches and hacks. It's just because the game is that short and ridiculous.
That is pretty funny, actually. Episode 68 was Mario Teaches Typing. I did a first play of this. You should go watch it and see what it's all about. Did you guys learn how to type on this
one? I'm pretty sure it's pretty self-explanatory as to what it's all about.
F, 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 F.
S, that's S. And then out of nowhere... W-U-Y-I, like
D-D-D-D, semicolon.
Our problem with this game is that it doesn't teach you to type, it teaches you to press single keys on the keyboard.
It eventually kind of gets there, sort of.
As, do you remember, the way that it does is not by having you write something fun or nice, but having you write about the
History.
Civil War
right.
or wooden teeth.
That was after typing gibberish. That in between, when you weren't quite sentences... but you were past single letters in repetition, but it was just blocks of random text. I felt like I was like logging into Google after I'd sat through a really, really terrible security conference and changed all my passwords to like 128 characters because they were just random characters completely out of order. This one felt old because it was, felt overly educational driven, and it is, like, that's the kind of game it was, but they didn't sneak enough fun things in to like hide the fact that you were learning, and that's the goal of that kind of stuff.
And throw in the most blasphemous Mario voice actor of all time.
Yeah,
it was
terrible.
Mario Teaches Soccer.
Didn't you do a really good impression of it though, Nolan?
Not this one. Not
I feel
one.
Like you always nail your impressions.
Here's the thing. Nintendo did not have their hand in this and did not even look at it before releasing it because their name being on this is just offensive.
Oh, no. It was just a license thing, and they had nothing to do with it, clearly.
And which made me so frustrated because Nintendo could put out an incredible edutainment video game.
Absolutely.
But they didn't.
Absolutely. That rolls us from games that we really hated to iconic games that I'm pretty sure we all loved in Quake. Quake is a classic first-person shooter. I think of the old, like, well-known ones, it's my personal favorite. And I enjoyed getting to go back and relive it. And I especially loved all of the information we dug up while we were researching for this game about the Quake community and, like, modding and tournaments and all of the kind of culture that this game spawned around itself.
And Nine Inch Nails. That was the best part.
Yeah. Hey, Kenny, you brought up a good point. I think what we discovered or determined, and it's been a while, but that this was one of the first speedrunning games. Like, this was at least the first speedrunning communities
this
that came around.
This is what started Speed Demos Archive.
Yeah.
The mecca.
Huge history. Because there were a lot of mechanics within the game that allowed you to run it quickly.
Right.
Not limited to, but very famously, the rocket boost or the rocket jump. Like, that originated with Quake, which is just amazing.
Yeah, there were lots of really, really well-known first-person shooters. Some that I think people even remember more fondly. But I don't know if any long-term were as influential in terms of, like, the game and the design and what it did, internet and culture and popularity and how it was distributed and how it took off with multiplayer
multiplayer is the big one. I remember us talking about how there were first-person shooters, Doom and the like, and then Doom clones, but I think we called Quake a Doom clone, but at the same time, just the multiplayer aspect kind of took gaming, at least first-person shooter gaming, to this new realm.
Yeah, it was
and
sort of the
obviously
bridge.
We see the effect of that.
Yeah.
Like, we see that still.
Which we didn't get to partake in
on
the week that we played it. So that diminishes our entertainment significantly when we aren't able to play it in that capacity.
Sure.
Next game that we played in episode 70 was Battletoads, where you are one of two toads and you are going through so many different kinds of stages to, don't even ask what the story is because it is one of the most ridiculous things where it begins with one of your brother toads being stolen or kidnapped.
Space napped.
Wouldn't it be tadpole napped?
Tadpole napped.
Right.
In space.
Out of a ridiculous plot. But if you set that aside, I thought and found that the gameplay was fun outside of its difficulty.
Yeah, this is one of those classically difficult games. Like, when you have people put together a list of hardest video games ever, whether it's actually true or not, this one usually makes those lists because there is some absolutely frustratingly crazy difficult moments in this game.
Yeah, I'm glad I played this. This is a classic game. People love this game. Huge speedrunning game. I'm glad I played it so I can know to never play it again. I didn't like it. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry, but I'm not a Battletoads guy.
Looking back on it, I am sad that we did not give it our vote for New Game Plus status.
I feel like we should have.
The tone, and it's so fun. It really, really is. It's just punishingly difficult. It probably deserves it. It may, but
I think so.
I mean,
it's an NES title, guys.
Yeah, we've got to respect how we felt the week of, obviously.
Yeah, and the week of, we said that the difficulty broke it.
Right. It can go too far. It's worth being familiar with, but it's not worth killing whatever unit you're playing it on out of your frustration.
Hey, hey, hey.
He nails it every time.
I'd try and go on and say the crazy taxi part, but I can't do it justice.
It's crazy taxi.
That's good.
It was alright.
Episode 71 was crazy taxi, and it was awesome, and I had so much fun playing it.
This one was a secondhand nostalgia kind of game for me. I'd never played it, but my wife had. And so this was one of those games that I got to kind of share my gaming that's usually on the side and something that I do for entertainment alone and get to do with her, and got to play through some of these levels, and she was better at it than I was. And it's just a crazy, frantic kind
crazy.
Of wild driving game. And I had a lot of fun.
This is one of those that we said kind of captured the early 90s, mid-90s vibe.
Yeah.
Because,
like,
you remember,
to.
Like, with the music and the graphics and the voiceovers, but does it in a way that's real, like, works.
Oh, yeah, it's, like, authentic.
So well.
It's not like it's put on. That's just what this game is.
Yeah. And remember, it started in the arcade. So how much fun it would have been to experience that in the arcade. Mm-hmm. And we all played at console and had a blast with it.
Yeah,
how like, much more in the arcade?
Right. And that also just speaks to how well they did adapting it to console. Like, it still felt arcade. Like, you still
absolutely.
Had your arcade modes. And it's like such a good PlayStation title. It was so good. Great game.
So a week after that, we had a special guest join us, and Brocincha came and hung out and brought us a suggested game that he thought would be fun to talk about. And so we
Brocincha is a gamer that is typically known to play really, really bad
video games. He plays weird and bad and unique video games, and so he wanted something that represented that sort of iconically and who he is, and he picked the perfect one for it.
He did well.
We played for episode 72, we played Athena.
That's right, you've never heard of it.
And I don't even know, this game is just...
It's just all mess... Now, it was super popular in Japan, which blew us away that anyone would have played this
game. But Japan's weird.
there's a whole Japanese audience.
They have weird taste in video games sometimes. And
sometimes they do.
Yeah.
But they're also responsible for some of the best. Look, Athena just felt like an unfinished video game. I mean, glitchy, unfair hitboxes, 0 point of some of the things that happen, and then like you have to do something very specific that you would never think to do to beat the game.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, come on. That makes the game alone unviable.
You're right. It felt totally just alpha. Some fun mechanics, though. There were some things that they tried to do that were really fun. The, like, platforming, but still having RPG elements of putting on armor and, you know, getting different attacks and some of those things were like, great ideas. But then they were just implemented really strangely.
Yeah, in the episode we talked about, there's some good, like a lot of good ideas here. They just didn't implement them and activate them well.
Yeah.
Like a lot of stuff were good ideas and then it just fell flat and there's a lot of things broken. I remember in particular, you collect items, but you have no idea what they do, no idea what they're called.
Oh, yeah.
And if you press select, sometimes you can get into your inventory, but you might be playing a time where you just get a black screen, so you can never even see your items. So just a mess of a game, but a pleasure having Brocincha on there.
Oh, man, he was great. Great guest. It's always fun having guests, and I love those episodes. And he was a really cool guy to get to talk to. Even though we kind of knocked the game, it's weird and unique enough, and he was a good enough guest that if you missed this episode, I'd say take the time and go listen to it. We had a fun time that morning.
Following that episode, I was actually out of the country, but Kenny and Nolan came together for episode 73 to talk about Snowboard Kids.
Snowboard Kids.
Another nostalgia bomb for me. This was in that Bomberman age for me. And going back, it wasn't exactly what I remember, but I still liked the game. I think it was fun. And it was nice to enjoy it with someone else that's never played it.
Yeah, but it was shocking to me that you didn't give it your vote and Kenny did.
Right.
I know, that's... It was bizarre. That is pretty unique.
I think it's because it wasn't what you
it didn't live up
remember.
To the hype and the memories.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a fun little game, you know, kind of, you know, some good and bad, but felt 64-ish and delivered on the kind of stuff it did want you to do gameplay wise. And I enjoyed it.
It's got Mario Kart elements. Clearly, that was popping. So I think that was thrown. I mean, not to say you can't put that in your game and not be like a ripoff or something. It wasn't a ripoff. It was its own thing. The snowboarding's cool. Around that time, there were a lot of snowboarding games like 1080, SSX, Tricky.
Yeah, I remember playing some of those and really enjoying them. But those were more serious, you know?
Yeah, this was a fun N64. Just, I don't know. I didn't give... I still stand by that decision, but it's still fun.
And if anyone wants to hear Nolan do an endless amount of unintended puns, then episode 73, Snowboard Kids, is the one that you want to go listen to. One after another. And some that, Kenny, you didn't even catch. Like, Nolan, the whole time you're throwing puns out.
He had to make up for the fact that you were gone, and he did it by activating...
But he didn't even know he was doing it.
He did it by his subconscious activating the wit gland, and he couldn't help it.
Okay.
The wit gland sounds disgusting.
You've got
Don't ever say that again.
You're activating your wit gland.
Like, don't ever.
It's like a protected area in Florida.
All right, we need to move on.
Episode 74 sucked. It's just a stupid Power Rangers game again. Like,
it was
quit. Can you, if you're listening to this, can you please stop putting Power Rangers games on the stupid Retro Master list? Because I'm tired of them, and they're not fun.
I want a good Power Ranger
game. There's one, and I don't really want to play it now.
I want a good Megazord battle, and we have not gotten that.
If you would have played the Genesis version of that one we played, you would have gotten some of that. But it wasn't good, though. I mean, okay. Anyways, Lightspeed Rescue is a PlayStation game. You get to play as a Power Ranger. I guess that's cool. You get to pick which one, but it's not good, y'all.
Our problem with that is that it was the 8th season of Power Rangers, which by that time, they had already started, you know, not being as cool or not being as unique or innovative or whatever you want to call it. And so that translated directly into the video
game.
But
the game wasn't either. Like, even just some of how they went about it, it was,
But hey, it's popular. Like, people loved this game. I was talking to my boss about this game that week, and he was like, dude, I loved that game. And I was like, why?
And then you lost some respect for him?
No. I was like, you should play it.
It's one of those that you can play with two players on the using the same screen, no split screen. And
I always like that.
This is a terrible game. Don't ever play this game.
No Power Rangers.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, Dustin. You've got to introduce this next game. There's no choice in the matter.
I mean, it's not that important. It was.
We can skip it, really.
Episode 75, it was a Patreon pool, and our patrons banded together and put forth the godfather game of them all, Final Fantasy VII.
Big title, and big title for you. Like, you've talked a lot about how much you love this game, how influential it was on gaming and your history. I've seen you play this game and just light up, and all of us loved it, but it was an especially fun experience getting to talk about one of your favorite games of all time.
In the episode, I acknowledge that it is not the greatest game of all time. It will be on lists of great games of all time, and that's great, but I completely understand that, and it's got its flaws, so I'm not going to be that dumb, jaded person that thinks this is my game and there's nothing wrong with it. That's stupid.
But it's an awesome game, and there's a reason it has the reputation it has.
Yeah, and like you said, it's got the historical connection with me, and it's my entry into RPGs, really my first entry into true gaming, and you can't beat that.
No, you can't.
It's just an incredible game.
And then incredible games within the game. And those of you who support us enough know where I stand on that topic.
Those in Discord, actually, some of our patrons commented on something that you missed. And I know you've been out of town, but right after we record this, let's look and see if they brought to memory a game that you should have talked about in your secret episode.
There's tons of episodes that games that apply towards that topic. And so I'm super interested to see feedback. And those of you who don't know what we're talking about, sign up on Patreon, support us, check out some bonus content that we throw at our patron supporters, and you'll be a little more in the know.
Before we move on to the next one, I want, when y'all played Final Fantasy VII this go around, did it do anything for you? Did you see why I like it so much? I know you've played it before, both of you have, but Nolan, it had been a long time for you, and Kenny, it had been some time for you.
It had, but this is one I've played so many times and know so well. I knew exactly what I was getting into. I had fun with it. I always do. A little bit of nostalgia, but it's kind of like putting on that warm, like, Christmas sweater that you don't get to wear often, but you know it's going to get talked about at the party, and it's really, really comfy. and so you just put it on because it's comfortable, and it's great, and it's warm, and it was like going back to a best friend, and like no time had passed, and it was fun.
I think I have and still do have the least amount of experience with it. It had been a long time since I played it, but I love the game. And in fact, I, along with a lot of our Discord peeps, like we made a channel, it was talked about so much, dedicated to past games that we've played, and the topic is still Final Fantasy VII. So
right.
It's a great game, and it will forever be great in my book. I love it.
So that takes us to episode 76. I tried to jump ahead some. Dig Dug.
Classic.
Yeah, with our Pukas and Fygars.
Pukas.
like classic with the capital C in the almost annoyingly old kind of truly retro, retro game.
Like Pac-Man era almost.
Yeah, yeah. But like beautiful arcade. Like, oh, absolutely. I mean, if any game feels arcade, it's this. And
mm-hmm. it's so unique, like super creative.
Yeah. But it's one that I actually played on handheld growing up, and it's very simplistic. You've only got two enemies. You might have multiple of them on the screen, but you've only got two enemies, and it's the Pooka or the Fygar, and you run around as this little guy that pumps them up full of air mm-hmm. and pops them, and once they're all popped, you go on to the next level.
It sounds simple, guys, though, but there's lots of strategy in manipulating where they go and in maximizing your points and your efficiency and in dropping rocks on their heads and in doing all of these things to really get the most out of it. It becomes kind of, in its simplicity, a beautiful little game.
I feel like Zion, one of our producers, got like super far, like hundreds, in the hundreds level. And we're like, what? We're on 15.
He did. We didn't get that far at all. And in fact, we kind of said, hey, taking this game outside of the arcade and playing it again, it's not as enjoyable.
Oh, no,
we didn't give it.
It's super repetitious. Like
a super repetitious.
Yeah, like it's,
and it has its rightful place in gaming history. No one's
right,
denying it.
It's almost like a Pong kind of title. Like
right,
big
the enjoyment
title,
will diminish very quickly.
But you get a lot of the same thing over and over and over and again. And so I think falls straight into that category of games that are worth knowing about, but maybe not worth spending your time on, unless you have a connection like we found out with some people who just rocked it that week.
Episode 77 was Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Stadium. Close.
Pokemon Stadium. I was not here for this one. I was like Christmasing or Thanksgiving or something like that. Or
something.
A funeral.
No,
or
no,
something.
No. You were at a funeral. It was a funeral.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunate because, wow.
Yeah. So it was just the D&K podcast that time.
Yeah. D&K. You guys roasted me at the beginning.
Did we really?
You guys like did impressions of me. Impressions. You guys suck at them. And Kenny was like, "Oh, Nolan, I don't."
No, we're just like, "Hey, it's Nolan, and this is a podcast."
This is episode 77.
I mean, I do sound like that, but like, I was at a funeral.
We didn't roast you. It was all in love.
I want to play this game.
You play it. Here's the thing. It was a game that I had fond memories of playing as a kid, and like your Snowboard Kids one, I came back to it and was like, "Oh, this is not as much fun as I thought."
There
it
were
was.
A few things we liked, the animations and some of the stuff they did that made it feel like they really were trying. But it's one of those that unless you were playing it like in addition to other Pokemon experiences as its own standalone kind of game, it was just kind of hollow. There wasn't much there.
Wrong.
Yeah, not wrong. Not wrong. You didn't play it. Here's the thing.
But I know I'm right, because
it was Pokemon for the first time in a 3D environment. It was huge, mind-blowing, so much fun. But what we decided is if you don't have that transfer pack where you can bring in your beloved Pokemon from the original Red, Blue, and Yellow, if you can't bring those in and battle with them, then that just takes away so much of the fun. And then you're battling with Pokemon that you don't care about, don't have any connection to, and then it's rock, paper, scissors.
Fair. But it needs New Game Plus. And if you had those issues with it, go play Pokemon Stadium 2, because it was just better. It was just
agreed.
Even better.
Yeah. Go play Pokemon Stadium 2.
I don't mind a sequel going back and fixing things, but this one wasn't good enough on its own to be worth it. In its context, maybe worth not going back and worth playing.
Speaking of sequels, episode 78 is Zelda 2, the sequel to the one that started it all. And we had a guest, Fiesel.
Yeah, didn't have to do this one alone.
No, we had a guest, Fiesel. He joined us. He was another speedrunner. And he's really one of the ones that helped start the community
absolutely.
Continues to help lead that community in with Games Done Quick competitions, which one's coming up. The summer one is up in just like a week away.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Ooh, well, that's hype.
Yeah.
Zelda 2 is like one of the most jarring sequels in gaming history because Zelda, you know the name. I don't care if you play games or not. My favorite series. I had not much experience with Zelda 2, but it's notorious for being hard and not fun in comparison to the first one. And so I actually liked it. I thought it gets unfair hate.
Oh, no, we all did. This was the one that was probably out of the entirety of our podcast's life, the one that surprised me the most because of how much bad things I hear about it. And then in our playing of it, the sheer enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
It's not Zelda in the sense that like you're not going through dungeons and finding puzzles. It's very different. It's a side-scroller. It's all about survival. There's random encounters. You've got experience. But it was a good little game.
Yeah. And I personally kind of hope they revisit that a little bit future in the series. Not a remake, but using some of those styles, like the RPG elements of it. And I think, I haven't played it yet, and I've avoided all talk and spoilers of Breath of the Wild until I can like play it. But I think they've implemented some of those RPG elements. I think that's cool. Yeah. And I would play Zelda 2 again.
Nolan, you want me to tell you a little about Breath of the Wild?
You've played 2 seconds of it and bragged about it like it was something.
No, I haven't played much of it, but I spent hours watching people play through it this week, and you don't even know. It's going to become your favorite Zelda game. You're going to like Zelda follow the crowd, just like lemmings followed each other to their death off a cliff.
No, see, you didn't have to force a segue.
I know, it was rough.
You know, both of y'all are not Segway people.
Episode 79 was Lemmings. If you're not familiar with it, it's a kind of classic, cult popular sort of puzzle game where little guys show up and you have to navigate them from one end of a map of sorts, kind of platforming style, to an exit. It's a puzzle. It's sort of unique, but it also is kind of just, I don't even know what the word is, flat.
Yeah, what are you saying?
It's a quirky DOS game.
Yeah, like
thingy,
early
like,
90s PC gaming.
Yeah,
which significant. You might know the name. You definitely have seen the character somewhere, but
y'all both have tones of negativity.
I do.
I don't know what y'all are talking about.
No, because
you didn't like it.
Nolan really knocked it. My big complaint with this game is that it's sort of solved. Like once you figure out how to do each puzzle, then it's just a matter of going through and doing it, and when you get it, you get it, and then it's sort of repetitious at that point.
Vehemently disagree. This game is one that was so much fun of micromanaging these little lemmings. Huge variety of stage design, huge variety of complexity. They worked you in really well after you understand some the basics and how to use your lemmings and their abilities well, then you're better at it. But then with each new stage, you've got a whole new set of puzzles to complete, and it was a beautiful game, and I'm so glad that we gave it our vote for New Game Plus status.
Oh, it's a classic and definitely deserves that, but some frustrating parts about it. Everybody can agree, though, that blowing up all your lemmings is one of the most fun things ever, and it was great.
We did not give this next game our New Game Plus, and I'm still mad about it, and I kind of want us to talk about this a little bit. I've got to discuss something. So episode 80 was Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. Why did you guys hate this game?
Nolan, you turn into a mech.
No.
Mech.
Yes.
You turn into a Michael
You're describing
mech.
My point.
It literally is everything you would imagine that a Michael Jackson, not just themed game, but like influenced game would have.
So like created
right.
and
oh,
produced
yeah,
game.
Totally.
No,
you
guys are making my point.
On a
no,
screen.
We're not making your point.
Yes,
the
you
entire
are.
Premise of the game is rescuing children from closets and
trunks
of cars
yeah.
and caves. Like that is the premise.
You like? You're a baby killer. You hate kids.
I love kids, but I don't need to rescue them from the SWAT team.
You don't love
team.
Kids as much as Michael Jackson. Apparently,
you might be
That's
right. But
true.
It was all right. The animations are on point.
Yes.
The gameplay is fine and fun. The level design's not good. I got over it because the music sounded like Michael Jackson.
Yes.
The music was fun.
It just 8-bit and beautiful. So,
but the level
music and graphics
the level
were
design
amazing.
Was terrible. The idea of it was
terrible.
Fun. It had some weird quirky ideas that I thought were entertaining. The special move where you make everybody dance was the funniest
Incredible.
Thing I've seen in a video game in a long time. I literally was laughing out loud,
so
like rolling
no
on the
game
ground.
Plus? You...
But the gameplay itself mechanically
yes.
wasn't a good
no.
enough game. I do think the other Michael Jackson title is better. And
the arcade one, yeah.
The arcade game.
We didn't play
it's
that
the same though. Name, but it's a different game. And maybe that one would be good enough, but this one as a game wasn't good enough. Some entertaining parts
of
it.
Both of you are just hung up on the kid thing.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you are.
Not even slightly.
If you rescued kids on one stage, I'd be fine with that. But you rescue kids, you do that exact same thing on every other stage. There was no ingenuity here. It was so repetitive, and it just broke it. The graphics and the music, excellent, but then everything else made it to where I couldn't give it my vote.
Rest in peace, Michael Jackson. These are haters, man.
Episode 81 is Gunstar Heroes, and boy, was this a crazy, intense, high-speed, high-octane game.
Genesis Jim. I didn't know about this game, but after playing it that week, I was blown away.
This is the game where you pick your weapon type at the beginning, and then you collect upgrades and collectibles along the way and merge them together to create an entirely new weapon if you would like to.
Absolutely sick.
So sick. So beautiful. Kenny did a first play this week, and you can go and watch it on our YouTube and see that he never learned how to pick up items.
Oh, no. I did terrible in my first play. It took me a really long time to figure out this game. There were a few things that mechanically were just not obvious at all, but through later in the week figuring those things out and learning how to really play this game well, it just got super duper fun.
Yeah. It's really fluid. Gameplay was really fluid. Music was really cool.
Mm-hmm. The mechanics of the weapons are genius.
Love the mechanics.
And give you options in like style of play where you can literally play in different ways, and there's different advantages to your different combos of weapons. And this was a great game.
Yeah, Kenny, you actually said that it might be in your top five of games we played on our podcast, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
We're coming up on 90 games.
Right, I had so much fun with this one.
Yeah, it's one that that really confirmed in my mind how brilliant the Sega Genesis and those games were.
I'm with you. I get hyped when we see titles that came out on that console.
Like, I'm a Nintendo boy, don't get me wrong, and I never had a Genesis growing up, but when you see a Genesis game, you know it's a Genesis
Absolutely
game.
Absolutely you do.
And it's got this color and this quality and this character.
And makes me a little surprised that you guys didn't give Guardian Heroes back in the day our New Game Plus, because it had that same vibe for me and was a great title.
I feel like I did.
I don't think it got it from enough of us.
We always have this conversation. We had this conversation at our last retro recap, I think, that we don't know for sure what happened there.
Somebody set us straight. But we went from shooting absolutely everything with some crazy weapons to pointing and clicking in episode 82 as we played Scooby-Doo Mystery.
Shouldn't have been made.
Yeah, I mean, so it was a point and click without point and click.
Right.
Because you're not playing it on a computer.
Right.
You're playing it with a controller.
Yeah, which is the worst thing mechanically. Legitimately think if this had been a PC game where you could use the mouse,
it'd be better.
And like move around and those kind of things, I think I would have had some moments that were fun. There were moments that I kind of went, oh, okay, clever, whatever. I don't know.
It would have been better, but the game itself, outside of the controls being the worst thing ever, is the worst thing
ever. Long and punishing. It expects you to figure out things that make no sense whatsoever in terms of collecting items and turning them into something. And that's within giving you so many options that it just was...
You're bored by them, too.
Yeah, it was rough.
The puzzles are unintuitive. You have to combine items and use items in a way that there's no clues to do that. It's trial and error over and over again for way too long a time with way too little reward.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Episode 83 was Mega Man X, and we had SNES Drunk join us for this one. SNES Drunk plays SNES games and does something similar to what we do, sees if they're still worth playing, sees if the hype was worth it, and he chose Mega Man X that week, and we were more than happy to play this game.
Yeah, one of our earliest games on the podcast was Mega Man 2, and we all collectively loved that game. The soundtrack blew us away, and some of the mechanics that they got wrong in the first Mega Man, they corrected in Mega Man 2. Mega Man X is its first introduction into this new genre, this new series, its first game for the Super Nintendo, and was just brilliantly done. They kept the same quality and same benefit, like good things from the earlier Nintendo series, and perfected it and then made it look so much cooler.
I got straightened out on this game. I always, for some reason, had a sense that the original Mega Man series, your 2, 3, 4, all your, not your X series, were great games, and that the X series missed it. And I don't know where I got that from. I think I played X a little bit and just like didn't get into it enough. And this week fixed that for me. This was a great title, and SNES Drunk coming in and talking about it, being more knowledgeable than us, made it such a fun episode to talk about. This game's great.
He dropped some knowledge. He knows his SNES games, and we had a blast talking about it. And looking at the thumbnail right now makes me want to go play it some more. So I'm definitely going to get some more Mega Man.
So you're going to step out, and we'll finish the episode while you go play a little bit, and then we'll.
Da 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 da. Da, 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 da. And so on. Episode 84 was The Addams Family, and that one was another one that was without me. I hate it.
You gotta step up.
We
your
did
game
a lot of that this past.
I was in Europe both times in two different places. So
it's a hard life.
I'll explain later. But yeah, but this one was Paris with my wife for our 5-year anniversary.
A pretty valid excuse, I suppose. Dude, I did record on my wedding day, so.
Oh, whatever. So about Addams Family, is a Game Boy game, did you guys, is it memorable? I remember you guys not giving it your approval.
We had a little argument. I think I gave it mine,
which is
really? I don't remember. I do know that I liked it and Kenny hated it.
Yeah,
I thought that it was a good Game Boy title. If we're talking about the Game Boy, it's just I always have problems with games made from movies or shows. That's always going to be like a gimmick to me. So
Addams Family's weird, and this game was weird, and I feel even a little bit weird talking about it. Thankfully, though, you came back from Paris, and entertainment level came back as well as we got into episode 85. Tyrion.
Which, this is probably another one with Tyrion as the game, was another one that surprised me.
Huge
because
surprise for me as
I had
well.
I had played some of these vertical shooters where you're a jet and you're shooting, you know, things out of the sky. I played many of those in the arcade back in the day and enjoyed the genre, but had never heard of Tyrion.
I hadn't either. And the reason we played this was a Patreon pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was another Patreon pool, that's right.
And it was just like when I was seeing the list of submitted games, I was like, what and why? But I'm very glad I got picked. We actually had the artist of Tyrion drop in our Discord and start telling us about developing the game, which was amazing.
And I told you some, Nolan, I don't know if I've talked to Kenny after the fact, after we released the episode, the creator of the game, like the developer, the guy that was behind it, like started this game when he was, what did I say, 16 or 17? Mm-hmm. And created it within 3 years.
Crazy.
He began writing us, and so him and I had some dialogue and talked about the game some, and just super cool having those guys come in, which added to what was already a phenomenal game.
You said surprise, Dustin, and that nailed it for me. Like, this is one that started off a little slow for me. I was excited for, and then I had some like technical hurdles I had to get over getting it set up, and didn't even really conceptually get the whole weapons thing. And this is one that the more I played it and the more I got those things, the more fun I had. And the further you get and the bigger your ship gets and the better weapons go flying everywhere, and you go from just being like, okay, this is an okay game, to just being like, I can't get enough of this stinking game. And just tons of options on how you play and style and weapons, so you can totally customize and make it your own, and challenge but not punishing. You get to go through the whole story, which they integrate in well. And this was a big surprise game for us, but one that I had a lot of fun with.
Episode 86 was our first Game Gear game, and surprisingly enough, it was an RPG called Defenders of Oasis. I had a Game Gear. I had never played this game. And I'm okay with that.
Well, see, this is a game that I actually enjoyed.
I know.
Because it was another surprise, not near as much as those other ones, but we're talking about handheld RPGs, which doesn't happen often, and then doesn't happen this early in the cycle of gaming. And so if I would have had a game like this to play on my handheld back in the day, I would have sunk countless hours into this game. And the other cool thing is that they completely flipped the genre on its head and aren't giving us that kind of like the, your typical fantasy medieval, type yeah. RPG medieval
I
stuff.
I love the Arabian they're giving us theme.
Arabian themes yeah. with like sand and desert and instead of, and palaces instead that, of castles. Just a
that was the best thing about kind of thing. This game to me was that that take the whole different take on something well known.
And then I liked that it was a small cast of characters along with your hero that each had their unique ability or unique kind of character, but also fighting sets. So you have to use them well and use them to their strengths to be able to function together well as a team. I just thought that it was a cool game, but we didn't give it our vote for New Game Plus status because both of you
yeah.
scrubs.
Yeah, I mean, fighting interface was weird. There were lots of just little hang-ups for me. I like the RPGs. I like some of the creative stuff it did, but this one just had too many hurdles for me.
You have a point, though, Dustin. Like, you describing it that way makes me think, or it makes me like wonder why this game kind of went under the radar. I'd never heard of it. It doesn't have a huge following that I know of. So, I mean, I know we didn't give it New Game Plus, but I do think it's worth trying, I guess, if you're a fan of Game Gear games, which I loved those games.
Yeah. Episode 87, we're coming closer and closer to the present day. We played Cobra Triangle, which was just a game that makes you say, what? Yeah.
Like crazy.
Still I'm saying that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a boat.
You're a speedboat, an RC speedboat, kind of. I guess it's not radio-controlled, technically. You're a boat with a gun, and you do a bunch of random stuff.
Propeller.
And missiles.
Yeah, but a bunch of random stuff. Each stage is different. One stage, you're actually racing, right. So it starts relatively normal. And then, in just a few stages, you're fighting a
Leviathan
mythological...
bosses. Yeah.
Right. You're rescuing people from aliens and other boats that are coming to save them. This game was okay until you get to stages that are near impossible to beat, and it's not even muscle memory, it's just luck. And when there's luck that can stop you from playing the game and going further, which it did to yeah. me so many times, it just takes away the fun.
By the way, Rare made this game,
which is weird. Some weird interface stuff, and the amount of impact that your upgrades have, but without really finding any good way to explain how you go about getting those upgrades, was probably the biggest hurdle we had to get over. I think it's a game that once you have played it and know it well and can navigate it, I guess it can be fun in a, you know, challenging sort of, you know, try to see if you can beat what you've done before kind of way, but overall is weird. Which takes us into the last episode that we've done, and we're caught up currently with where we are. Nothing else to recap after we talk about the very classic early PC puzzle immersive game.
Oh my gosh, keep going. Say the name of the game.
Called Myst. Halfway through that, I had to just see how long I could frustrate you before I dropped the big Myst title.
This was Broderbund's. This was for computers. This was a graphic point-and-click adventure, which we haven't had the best history with.
No, we haven't. I personally have a vendetta against
this. This one's no Scooby-Doo, though.
No, it's definitely not.
It's in a whole different category on its own, yeah.
We did give it New Game Plus. Good. That's good, because we would definitely... Our careers would be over, because this game's pretty significant. Dustin, you didn't like it, right?
We gave it our New Game Plus.
Yeah.
Kenny and I did.
Oh, yeah. No, I said definitely not. I said with all the patience in the world that you're not going to logically solve these puzzles. And so I don't give it my vote. But if you do play a point and click adventure, let this be the one.
I had the exact same problems. I just remember saying it still deserves to be played. Like, it clearly had a significant impact on the genre, but also creating a genre and influencing so many other genres that it needs to be played. That's what I remember thinking about it.
Yeah, that's completely fair. And as you can see, looking back through this, our somewhat recent catalog, there are some games that we agree completely on, that they are either trash or they are absolute quality. And then there are a good handful of games that are like, this could have swung either way.
We end on totally different ends of the spectrum somehow.
Right. Which, that, you know, that's the point of this. We'd love for you to listen along with us and play along these games with us, because you might have a completely different opinion altogether, or you might agree with us, but hearing that from you guys is what makes this podcast fun.
Absolutely.
And being able to get some feedback from you guys throughout the week and then in a final email write-up or something like that that we can include in the podcast is always tons and tons of fun. And many of you have done that throughout the life of this
podcast. We've got a great community of people who follow along and play along with us. If you only listen to us as a podcast and want to just hear about these games, that's awesome. We'd love for you to keep doing that. But you're going to have even more fun if you dive in, play these games alongside of us, send us your thoughts, hit us up in Discord, on Twitter, on all your social media accounts. And the more you can connect with us, the more fun you're going to have. And it'll give you a chance to straighten us out when we get it wrong on a game that you really like.
And if you really enjoyed this episode, hearing us go back to some of our previous episodes, go to our YouTube channel, because we are uploading our backlog of games. That's starting with episode one, Earthworm Jim, where all we did was laugh at each other when we got on the mics. So go check that out. We're uploading the full episodes, so you will have one pretty much every day, right?
For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah, that we plan on doing that until we get caught up, and sooner in just a little bit, that might be the only place you're able to find our archived episodes. So make sure that you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. We'll also post our VODs, our video on demand, or the videos, recordings of our live episodes, unedited. So if they won't be on Monday when the rest of our episodes release, but later in the week, you'll be able to catch our faces looking at you, talking about these games in an unedited format, to where you might get a little bit more than you get on our regular weekly episode. All of that being said, at the end of most of our episodes, we randomly select for our next week's game. We're not going to do that this week. Once
two
again,
2 weeks in a row, you're crushing my heart.
We are not randomly selecting this week, because it's a good thing, because we've got a guest that we're bringing on the show to play an episode, to play a game with us. He is the host of a podcast called Party of One, and this podcast is where he is the DM or the GM, and he sits down with a friend or with a guest, and they play one of the tabletop RPGs one-on-one. And really cool idea. Cool. One of our viewers actually introduced me to the show, and I connected with Jeff, and he's going to come on, and we're actually going to play one of our first, I think it might be our second, maybe third, fighting game of our entire podcast, Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Very fun. So I love special guest episodes. They tend to pick games that give us good things to talk about, positive or negative. There's always good discussion, and bringing on somebody who's got a little bit of different experience in the kinds of gaming he does, and talking about some video games with him will be a super, super, super blast.
As we conclude this episode, we want to give a special thank you to our two producers, Bradley and Zion. You guys are so helpful and so beneficial to this podcast. You're great friends, good community builders. We have conversations with you regularly in our Discord and through other venues, and we just appreciate you guys and what you've done to make this podcast happen. Make sure to join us next week as we welcome our guest Jeff Stormer and talk about the game Marvel versus Capcom 2. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still waiting for us to actually roll that randomizer.
And I'm Nolan.
And this has been Retro Recap 3 of New Game Plus.